And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Well, I'm glad you've tuned into the broadcast again this week. We're picking up our study in John chapter 14, verse number 15, John 14, verse 15. The Lord Jesus here, speaking to his disciples, speaking to the apostles, speaking there to his first church, the church at Jerusalem, that he's getting ready to go to the cross of Calvary, give his life a ransom for his people, and then be buried and raised from the dead. And after that, he'll meet with his church for some 40 days as they move along there, the 50 days from Passover to Pentecost. And the Lord will instruct his church during that time, and then he will go to the Father and is there now and has been there ever since. He's giving his church instruction for these things that are going to come to pass. He is teaching them there in the upper room, and soon at the end of this chapter, they're going to depart from the upper room where the Lord observed the Passover and instituted the ordinance of the Lord's Supper there for his church, and they're going to be going to Gethsemane, and on this way, the Lord is going to teach them. In verse number 15, he says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." A very simple thing. Do you love the Lord? Do you claim that you love the Lord? With your mouth, do you say that you love the Lord? Well, do you obey what he says to do? Well, to obey what he says to do, you must know what he says to do, what his commandments are, what he has given. Talk is cheap, and the Lord sees through all that. And the James, the apostle, speaks to that us of that in his book in the Bible, his epistle. If you love me, keep my commandments. The keeping of the commandments does indeed show the love for the Lord. Does that save a soul? No, not at all. What saves a soul is salvation from the Lord by repentance and faith, a repenting of the sinner that they are guilty before God. They deserve the condemnation that is upon them, and they deserve eternity in hell. Repentance that they are guilty, that they are the guilty one before God, that they are the sinner that needs saving. And then faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection for the salvation of that sinner's soul, for the forgiveness of their sins, for the granting to them of eternal life through Jesus Christ, that the promises Jesus has made, that they apply to that sinner. If you love me, keep my commandments. Verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. We find this interesting that the Lord says, I'm going to give you a comforter. As one brother had said in years gone by, he said, he does not promise the church a memory, but a comforter, a person. As Jesus has been there with his church and built his church over the 3 years of his public ministry, he has been there to be a comfort to them. They had a problem, they had an issue, they had a detail that they did not know what to do about. They had a lack of understanding of what the Lord said, or things that were coming about in the day of the Lord's ministry, and as they trekked from Judea through Samaria and Galilee and back and forth, and they were there with the Lord, when they didn't understand the Lord's preaching, all those times, all those things, they could go to the Lord and ask him, and he would always answer. He would always comfort them. The Lord has promised another comforter like him, not a memory, not a thing, but a person that will be there for them. More than a force or an influence. Hear that? More than a force or an influence, but a comforter, another comforter. The Lord's been a comforter, and this one that he would send would be a comforter unto them. Now understand this. This is a promise to the Lord's church. This comforting work of the Holy Spirit of God, as is borne out in other passages, is the work of the Spirit of God. This is a work that's only given to the church. It's that way. Every sinner that is saved of the Lord indeed has the indwelling of the Spirit of God. That is life. God within us, the Lord living within us. As the scripture says, Jesus Christ within us by the Spirit of God. Every believer has the Spirit of God, and indeed the Spirit of God is a leader, and it indeed is a comforter to each one. But this work that is promised here is a work that's going to be done in the Lord's church. Not every institution or organization that claims to be a church, but the Lord's church, his church that started there in Jerusalem and then would beget other churches during the course of time all the way down to this day. We believe and we understand that the in our day they're called Baptist churches, but not every church that claims the name of Baptist is one of the Lord's churches. They are known by their doctrine. Do they hold to the doctrine that the Lord Jesus Christ taught? Do they hold to the doctrine that the apostles taught? That is the test. The Lord has promised perpetuity. He has promised that his church will always be in existence from the time that he built her during the day of his ministry all the way down till the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And so we know that that promise is so. We know his churches are present and are here because he made the promise that he would do so. But not every organization that claims to be a church is a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh yes, they are an assembly, and they do gather together for what they do, but are they the Lord's? Do they belong to the Lord's? The Lord has promised the Comforter to his church. Listen to this. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter in the stead of Jesus, that he may abide with you forever. So he will abide with his church forever. It'll be ongoing. There'll be no gap, no skip, no loss, but the Spirit, the work of the Comforter will be there with the church. Here, a greater understanding of who this is. Even the Spirit of Truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive, the world doesn't receive him. The world doesn't get what the Spirit of God is all about, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And so here I believe that we see that the same Spirit that has come and given believers, given sinners, given the Lord's people, the Lord's children, salvation, that is rendered and yielded the new birth in the believer, that same Spirit that dwells within them and that they know, he will also be doing this work of the Comforter in the church. He says, you already know him, and now he will be doing this. I'll pray to the Father, and he will be doing this work in you. Come, future tense. You know him now, present tense, and he shall be in you, future tense. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And so the Lord here, I believe, speaking about his resurrection, that time of instruction that he will give them after his resurrection and before he ascends to the Father, in those 40 days between the Passover and Pentecost, he'll come back and forth amongst his church. The scripture bears that out. And then at some point during that time, he will ascend to the Father and stay there until his return to the earth. And so he says, I will come to you, speaking of, I believe, the resurrection and this work of the Comforter. Verse 19, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Okay, a little bit. There's a little bit of time. It's going to be tomorrow. Tomorrow evening, tomorrow afternoon, I'm going to be buried, and the world won't see me anymore yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me because I live. You see me because I live, ye shall live also. He said, it's all about me. It's all focused on me. There's going to be a time that the world's not going to see me, but you will know where I am. See, think about this. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to go to Calvary. He's going to give his life on the cross of Calvary. He's going to be buried. The world is going to think that it's done, it's over. The apostles, the disciples, the church is going to think they wonder what has happened, even though the Lord told them in advance. And they wonder if this is not the end. They have hope that he was the one that would bring deliverance to Israel, as Cleophas as Cleophas says there on the road to Emmaus, and is talking with the Lord. And so they're all in the same situation at that point, not being able to see Jesus anymore. But then Jesus appears to his church. On the first day of the week, on Sunday, he appears to his church there as they're gathered in the upper room yet. And then from that point forward, they know that their Lord and Savior has risen from the dead. What does the world think? Well, the world thinks that Jesus has been killed on the cross, has been buried in that tomb, and it's all done. But now, after the Lord appears to his church, they know where he's at. So then next week, the next Sunday, what happens again? The scripture bears it out. The Lord meets with them again. They know he is alive. Thomas is now there. And Thomas is told by the Lord, Thomas, put your finger in the nail prints in my hands, and put your hand in my side, and be not faithless, but believing. The Lord, Thomas says, bows before him, my Lord and my God. And so, see, now they know, after the Lord's resurrection, they know where the Lord is. And he meets with them over those 40 days between Passover, between his crucifixion or his resurrection, between his resurrection and Pentecost. And he meets with them. They know where the Lord is. He's in their midst. He is working in them. He gives them the promise of the Comforter in John chapter 20, which we'll get there and we'll see that. He says, receive ye the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, that work of the Comforter. They had the Spirit living within by virtue of salvation, but there needed to be this work of the Comforter also in the church, a special thing there in the church. And he says here, yet a little while, verse 19, and the world seeth me no more, But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. So it'll be a testimony. The Lord is risen. We saw him killed. We saw him die. We saw Joseph and Nicodemus bury him. But now he lives. And now because of that, we have hope of life eternal that he has promised. Oh, now the meaning of what eternal life is, everlasting life, by Jesus Christ. Because I live, ye shall live also. Well, see that our time has passed for now. Farewell until next time. May the Lord bless you with his word and his truth.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954, by email at obchurch@gmail.com, or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.